The Mass today is that for the Feast of the Holy Family that we're saying here. However, the Epistle and the Gospel are taken from the first Sunday after the Epiphany in your missals. The first Sunday after the Epiphany. Therefore, the epistle appointed to be read for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Brethren, I exhort you by the mercy of God to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, pleasing to God, your spiritual service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed in the newness of your mind, that you may discern what is good and acceptable and in the perfect will of God. By the grace that has been given to me, I say to each one among you, let no one rate himself more than he ought, but let him rate himself according to moderation and according as God has apportioned to each one the measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, yet all the members have not the same function, so we, the many, are one body in Christ, but severally members of one another in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And after they had fulfilled the days, when they were returning, the boy Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. But thinking that he was in the caravan, they had come a day's journey before it occurred to them to look for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in search of him. And it came to pass after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who were listening to him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done this so to us? Behold, in sorrow thy father and I have been seeking thee. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they did not understand the word that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things carefully in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. Thus for this Sunday's and feast day's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, before I go into any other part of the bulletin, I wish to present a little something as a matter of a warning to you. I'm sure that some of you, perhaps even many of you, I do not know, have received begging letters from some kind of project that has to have a large sum of money right away in order to get, some kind of booklets printed that, we've got 1 million copies of these booklets to be distributed right away. There are no names mentioned in the letter. There are no, you don't know who it is. You're sending it to a vicarious place. Someplace in the country, it apparently is coming from Rome or wherever, do not send any money. and tell and spread the word around to people elsewhere in the country. I have been told from different sections of the country that this letter has been received. We got one. So do not send any money. And while I am at it, you, unless you absolutely and positively know who it is that is asking for money, and that the project that he's asking or they are asking about that you know about and is well established, and you're without question knowing it, if you don't know that, do not send any money. Destroy the letter. And to give you a case in point, also, put another thing, so-called individuals who are asking for mass stipends, unless you absolutely and positively know who it is that is asking for mass intentions from you, do not send any money. Destroy the request. To give you a case in point that'll frighten you, a certain lady that I know her quite well, she lives in California. Apparently she had a very serious request or intention for a mass. And of course, imposters go around all the time. Just because they put a Roman collar on does not make them priests. This lady ended up giving $1,000 for one mass to be said. Now take that for what it's worth, beloved people. Take that for what it's worth. Unless you absolutely know, do not give money. Now this is not this is not saying as far as mass intentions go that we want mass intentions here. No, for goodness sake, we're not asking for mass intentions. Do you know, and people today are desperate to get masses said. In the month of December just passed alone, I don't know the exact number, but we got something like from between 500 and 700 mass intentions from people all over the world. So as far as us asking for mass intentions, I am not asking for them for here, but for goodness sake, spread the word around. Wherever you know people that are close to you, tell them about it. There are imposters every place today, and they want money. I hate to say things like that from here, but I can't help but protect you from such as that. It's just wrong, double wrong. And they're unconscionable people who are using sacred things for their own private and advantages. And I don't like that. Excuse me if I've gotten a little upset about it, because I am upset about it. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost, amen. I'm going to try not to be upset anymore. But at any rate, today, as you know, we have the chalk, the blessed chalk here in this little bowl. After Mass, please come up here and take whatever chalk you need to inscribe the doors of your houses and your homes. This is the duty of the father of the house. Now, fathers of the houses, you may think that I am putting extra duties upon you. I am, because it is your place to do that. You are the father of the house. I did not make you the father of the house. God made you the father of the house. And therefore, you are representing him as far as your house goes, your home circle goes. And in the event that there is no father in the house for whatever reason, then immediately the mother takes over. So fathers of the house, you stand at the main entrance of your home, say your prayer, bless your house. Inscribe the numbers on the formula on your doors, and then try to go around throughout the house and inscribe those that same formula on all the doors of your house, of your home. Especially if you have children. I am alarmed at the amount of information that is filtered through to the ears of our children. Unknown, unsupervised information that our children have access to, especially by the use of these little portable phones that are like candy drops. Everybody has got one, down to the littlest child. And those conversations are unsupervised and you have no earthly idea of who's talking to who and what is being said to what. Now, I am serious about this. I know what I'm talking about, and I'm passing it on to you, precious, precious people. We are living in times that are beyond description. And all of these conveniences that we have are not necessarily conveniences. So much for that also. I'm not angry at anybody this morning, I'm just concerned. And I worry about what's in store for all of us. I've told you before, and I'm telling it again. I'm telling it, I told you. The devil is sweeping his tail around for his final time. And he's going to grab up everybody that he possibly can, especially those who are not well rooted or well grounded in their holy faith. My beloved people, please believe me. Please believe me. Today, I really am I had to say those things, and forgive me if I'm trying now to switch over. Today, we celebrate the Holy Family. It really is in conjunction with everything that I've said so far. The home. The home is a sacred place, really, with the mother and the father in charge. My beloved people, our blessed Lord subjected himself to a mother and a foster father, we call him father just for short, to Saint Joseph, and he was obedient to them. And can you imagine how our blessed mother and Saint Joseph must have felt? They knew who he was. There's no question about that. They knew exactly who he was. And can you imagine how our blessed mother must have felt when she told her son to do this and to do that, and he did it? when she told her son to go fetch water at the well, and her son did it. And can you imagine how Saint Joseph must have felt in the shop when he was teaching this young man how to be a carpenter and how to handle the tools of a carpenter. And when he told this son, this child, this young man, to sweep the floor and to make deliveries and to go and fetch money to be paid for the deliveries so that they could eat, can you imagine how he must have felt? And at the dinner table, how do you think this Saint Joseph, this Joseph must have felt when he took the place, his place at table, the first place at table? And that this boy took the second place. How do you think that Saint Joseph must have felt when he, the father of the family, gave the blessing over the food? When he was fully aware that the one sitting next to him was God himself. How do you suppose he must have felt . And therefore, I have no hesitation to speak to you men to do what you're supposed to do. You bring the blessing into your houses. And that is that. And this is not downgrading anybody. It is just keeping things in their proper perspective. And that your children, like this boy Jesus, will see what you are doing and will remember what you are doing. And it is hoped that they will keep this in mind to be used at some later date in their own homes when they become of age. We are living at a moment, at a time, when it seems that the whole conflagration of humanity, with few exceptions, have simply lost the perspective of the divine. Where did you see the divine over the past several weeks? I myself used to be, oh, how I yearned for that period of time when the magnificent Christmas carols would be heard of the radio, TV, in the stores, in filling stations, wherever and wherever and wherever. Even so, how thrilling it was to hear their beauty. Today I hate them. Not because they're Christmas carols, but because if you pay close attention, if you paid close attention, there was something done to the rhythm. There was something done to the discordance. There was something done someplace along the way that made them ugly. And you know it. And they did not create in us the feeling of simplicity, of holiness, and piety, and joy, and serenity that once upon a time, when we heard Christmas carols, somehow or other, the older ones of us are probably more familiar with this than the younger ones of us. There was something that came in former times over the house. It was as if a light descended, and the aroma of the beauty of those sounds simply filled our souls. You know very well what I'm talking about. We don't hear that anymore. There's something about a go, go, go. Let's go to town, let's run here, let's buy that, let's do this, let's go here, everything. There's something about it that is pressing us far and beyond the call of duty, the call of God. So, my beloved people, of course, this is after the fact, it always is. But nevertheless, that we will keep that little torch, that little lamp, that little flickering light alive. It isn't a fairy tale that we're talking about. It is not a fairy tale. It's the most real subject that exists. Our world does not understand, does not want to understand the divinity. A story told by our own sisters, who have to go out, of course, to shop and to buy groceries. And here some time ago, they were standing at the checkout counter, waiting their turn, when two or three stalwarts passed by them, sneered at them, and cried out, "Satan reigns," to the sisters. There are other stories that can be told. And Satan is doing all he can to reign. I'll tell you another little horror story of a certain man who's now dead. You don't know who I'm talking about. Once upon a time, and he told it upon himself, in the little house where the sisters live right now, one night in the presence of his own family and me, At a younger date in his life, he wanted something very, very, very much. He wasn't getting it. So, he said, "Satan," this was a very Catholic man now, very, very Catholic man. He said, "Satan, I want thus and so." He got it. Time later passed because he felt an iron noose around his neck. He could never turn loose of it, it would never turn loose of him. And even at that sitting, they were saying, "I am still in his clutches and I cannot shake him." We're not talking about fairy tales. So my dear people, please listen. Please learn. In our bulletins today, we have an absolutely beautiful, it's not, I can't claim to be original. The little narrative on the front page there showing that gorgeous picture of the baby Jesus. Read what it has to say. And I will read one little sentence of it to you, because it is so overwhelmingly powerful. And so it is. How Joseph and Mary must have felt when each morning and each evening they knelt beside him, knowing that he whose prayer went up with theirs was himself the God to whom they prayed. That is one of the most powerful sentences I have ever read. This was the mystery that Joseph and Mary had to keep locked up in their hearts. They couldn't talk about it. They were not allowed to talk about it. And this in itself was a suffering, a serious suffering. Imagine how our Blessed Mother must have felt when knowing all that she knew. She could see her little boy being roughhoused by other little boys on the playground, or as a young gentleman that he was not spoken to in the way that he should have been spoken to, and she could only look in silence and suffering. Or when Saint Joseph would see or would hear others downgrade the work of this man and fuss at him for this reason or that reason or the other reason, and Joseph had to look on in silence. Imagine the suffering. that these two had to suffer? Which ones of us could have endured this kind of pressure? Therefore, I hesitate not at all, dear people, in these days, to ask us all, fathers and mothers and children, to remember that which takes place or should take place in your homes. Each one observing his or her own responsibilities. You must take care of our Lord. We must take care of our Lord. We speak of his kingdom. My dear people, we are the ones who it appears he has given the grace to do what we're doing. We're not the only ones. We're not to judge anybody else. We look only at ourselves, and I speak only and primarily to you. And as we ask that we do our part, whoever we are and wherever we live, to help the kingdom of God, to protect the kingdom of God, get on your knees. Ask for protection. Ask the angels to come down and to stand guard at every blade of grass, wherever and wherever, to protect us from sin. You know how easily available sin is today, and you know only too well how praiseworthy sin has become. You know that, and you know it well. It is no longer a disgrace to be sinful. Rather, it is honorable and normal and psychologically stable to be sinful. And a virtuous life today is indicative of abnormality. And you know that what I'm saying is the truth. Therefore, do everything you can by your example, by your prayer primarily, your prayer, mortification, and so on. Do what has to be done. Now in a couple of weeks, right away, all the decoration will be gone, and the church will begin to show signs of penance when all will turn to purple. During this Lent, I want us all to do more than the little that is over and above our normal offering. Having said all of this, my beloved people, this is not to present gloom. Rather, it is to present in you joy of heart, peace of heart, serenity of heart, the warmth of God and Jesus Christ of heart. If you have peace and joy and serenity and the warmth of heart, the warmth of God in your hearts, my beloved people, there is nothing in creation that could be more wonderful or more priceless. And you can walk around and look at everything you see that is made by the hand of God and see God and realize that God is with those whoever we are and wherever we are, that God is with those who truly love Him. This is what I'm talking about this morning.